you have your Bibles with you this morning, I'd encourage you and ask you to turn to Luke chapter 2. And for just a few minutes this morning, I want to preach a short message on this thought, brethren, we have met to worship. I want to give you just a little bit of a view from the lenses and the spectacle of the shepherds in the Christmas story. The Bible says in Luke chapter 2, verse 7, and she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were very afraid. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you, you will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. We just bow this morning, and I want to just pray and ask the Lord to bless His word to us this morning. And Father, we do thank You for this day. And as we have gathered this morning and we have met together to worship, Lord, as we just see a small picture into the life of these shepherds, I pray, Lord, that Your word would speak to us. Lord, as the children are in here this morning, I'm so grateful for all the families represented just who have come together, gathered together, met together to worship the name that is above every name. Now, Lord, I am well aware of a Sunday like this, after there's been so much preparation and the excitement and all of the energy and the output that we experienced last night and how You blessed. Lord, many that were involved last night were up past midnight. And so, Lord, when we come into this morning, there's always a sense of excitement and expectation, but there's also a sense of a little bit of weariness and lethargy and just flat tired, some people are. And so, Lord, as we have sang songs to elevate our hearts in worship, I pray, Lord, that as we deal with some of the physical struggles sometimes, Lord, of a schedule, and as wonderful as the Christmas season is, the rush, and even as we're coming to serve the Lord, just kind of that pressure on us, I pray, Lord, that as we take time this morning to worship You, that You would just, Spirit of the living God, fall fresh on this place. Because, Lord, Your word says, in Your presence there is fullness of joy. And I pray that the joy of the Lord would be our strength this morning. And, Lord, that it would work itself into our hearts and work itself up into our eyes, that our eyes would be lighted and that our smiles would be set off, Lord, as we worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I pray, God, that You would just bless the Barnetts and John White and all those that will be singing this morning, that as we have met to worship, that we would worship well and that we would bring great glory to Your name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God, thank you. That was a bonus amen right there. I appreciate that. If you're following along on your bulletin notes, if you can see on your notes, I want to just mention this morning, brethren, the shepherds, from their perspective, can say, brethren, we have met to worship at the manger of Christ. And I want you to see how worshiping Jesus changed the lives of these shepherds. Shepherds were just everyday, normal, salt-of-the-earth, hardworking people that lived in Jerusalem. And I want you to see how God spoke to them. Look at verse 15 in Luke 2. It says, the shepherds said to one another, after the angel appeared to them, let us now go to Bethlehem. And they came and found Jesus lying in a manger. You skip to verse 20. It says, then the shepherds, after they had seen Jesus and worshipped Him, they returned to their fields, they returned to their homes, they returned to their marriages, they returned to their children. It says, then they returned glorifying and praising God for all the things they had seen and heard. This morning, the reason that we love this Sunday is because the Barnetts and John White, we take a little bit more focused time to just rejoice
and glorify and praise God that he came to this earth to be our Savior. Some commentators said, you know, there's no record in the Bible about how many shepherds there were. There could have been three. There could have been 13. One Bible commentator said, we have no idea. There could have been 300. But we do know that there were many shepherds that came rolling out of the hills after the angels appeared to them to praise and worship the Lord. And, you know, when I think of shepherds, these were tough men. You think of David. David was a shepherd. You think of Moses. Moses was a shepherd. You think of Jesse. Jesse and his sons, they were shepherds. And you think of all of the shepherds that you find in God's Word. These were tough men. These were pretty stable, stout, able men. And I would imagine that because they were just the normal and everyday people of society, they had no elite status. I would imagine that on all of those waving hills of Jerusalem, that some of those guys were in contention. Maybe they were not just in contention, they were in competition. How many sheep do you got? Well, how much sheep does he have? And well, how many shepherds does he have on his staff? And how many servants does he have back at his ranch? And I guarantee you, being that these shepherds were human, and how many there would have been all throughout Jerusalem, there would have been certain areas of division and discord and disagreement. And maybe this shepherd says, hey, you keep your little lost lamb on your side of the fence. And this little stream of water right here, this is my portion. This is my part of the creek. You keep your lambs and your goats out of my watering hole, all right? And so there would have been at times shepherds that were in conflict with one another. And yet the Bible says that when these shepherds began to roll down out of the hills, and they got their focus off of themselves, and they got their focus off of each other. And the Bible says that they bowed down and worshiped the baby named Jesus. Something began to happen between those men and those young shepherd boys. And I'll tell you what happened. There was a sense of unity. You know why? Because when you are in the presence of the Lord, and when you bow down before him and worship and adore him, your self-centeredness and your sinfulness and your self-righteousness is evaporated in the presence of the King. And as they bowed down before him, I can just imagine maybe a father and a son who were estranged, and maybe a son took his portion of the sheep and went over here, and the dad stayed at the home place, and maybe there was tension there, or maybe it was an estranged brother, or maybe two friends who started out together in the sheep business, but there was a division. But as they're rolling down out of the hills, maybe they hadn't seen each other for years. And these men now bowed down, and these sons and these fathers who had something against one another, they're bowed down, and their hearts are humbled before the Lord. And they begin to look at one another. The tears begin to flow. And they have this common ground now called Jesus, the Savior of the world. And they maybe, father and son, link their arms together. Maybe a couple brothers who've been across the way and separated for a lot of years lock arms. And they begin to sing, brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. And I don't know the other lyrics, so I'm just telling you though. When they came together, there was a spirit of unity. My encouragement to you this morning is when you will get before Jesus and bow before him and worship and adore him and get your focus off your, there's going to be family members this Christmas that there can be new unity. There are going to be brothers and sisters and friends that you have been estranged from, that if you will bow down and humble yourself before the Lord, that God can create a sense of unity and bonding and love and peace in your family and in your relationships that you've not had before, when you choose to meet together at the manger of Christ. Secondly, these shepherds could say, brethren, we have met to worship at the Mount of Calvary. We were together at the manger of Christ, but you fast forward 33 years. I want you to look in Luke chapter 23. The scripture is also there on your bulletin. Fast forward 33 years in these shepherds' lives. The Bible says in Luke chapter 23, verses 26 and 27, as they led Jesus away to Calvary, a great multitude of the people followed him. All of his acquaintances, verse 49, and the women who followed him from Galilee stood a distance watching these things. Now, the Bible says that there was a great multitude. And I don't want to, I'm not trying to add to Scripture, but I just want you to use your imagination this morning. These shepherds, they dwelt around home. They were Jerusalem people, just like some of you are Knox Countyans, all right? You've always been in Knox County. You're always going to be in Knox County. You were born, you were married, you're going to be buried in Knox County, all right? And there are plenty of shepherds that Jerusalem was home, and they weren't going anywhere. And so for 33 years, they knew the story of Jesus. And they were at his birth, and they were bowed down before him. But then the Bible says there was a great multitude. I don't have any proof of this, but I would imagine as those young shepherd boys and maybe those middle-aged men who are now 33 years later, they're old shepherds. Maybe they begin to roll down once again out of the hills and they stand at Calvary and they look and they see the Savior who 33 years before they had bowed down and worshiped and they've been following him and they've been sharing about Jesus, but now they look to Christ hanging on the cross. And once again, maybe they hadn't seen each other for a few years. And some of these same groups of guys, birds of a feather, shepherds, are getting together and they're standing beside one another and the tears begin to stream down their face once again. And one of them says, "Hey, how you feeling?" "Well, I know how I'm feeling." "How you feeling?" "Well, I know what's on my heart." And little Mose, named after his forefather Moses, he says, "This is how it goes. Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God." And I want to tell you this morning that if you haven't been to the manger, but maybe you've been to the manger and you say, "Hey, I believe in Jesus and I'm glad he came to be the Savior of the earth." But if you've never gone fast forwarded to the cross and you've stood at the cross where you first saw the light and the burdens of your heart rolled away and you said, "I have decided to follow Jesus," you will never know the joy of Christmas until you stand at the cross and know that he died on the cross for your sins. And I could just imagine them standing there. And maybe the old 80-year-old shepherd looks at his little 9-year-old protege shepherd great-great-grandson. He says, "Hey, you see those three crosses?" He said, "Let me tell you something. I love the man in the middle. Because I know 33 years ago when I bowed down before him that he first loved me. Praise to the man, son, who dies on Mount Calvary. That middleman made it possible for you and me to go free." One last picture. These shepherds could say, "Brethren, we have met to worship at the manger of Christ, at the Mount of Calvary. And brethren, we have met to worship at the monument of conquest, at the monument of victory." Look at Luke 24, verse 2. Mary and the ladies and Peter and John, they've all been to the tomb, and it says they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. You skip down to verse 9, it says, "Then they returned from the tomb, and they told all these things to the 11, to the disciples," but I like this, "and they told it to all the rest." The shepherds were there at the manger. The shepherds were there at Calvary. But I just imagine that maybe they are grouped into that when Mary runs back and tells the disciples, word spread very quickly. And all of a sudden, the words that Jesus is risen from the dead begin to ripple out across the hills of Jerusalem. And one more time, 3 days later, the old shepherds start piling out of the hills and they're coming back down. And they want to see what in the world's going on. What in the world has happened? And they walk up to the tomb. And the old great-granddad looks in there. He looks back at his great-great-grandson. He said, "Yep, he ain't in there." He has risen from the dead, and He is Lord. And he looks over, and there's a couple more shepherds coming in, and there's a couple more shepherds coming in. And just 3 days before, they were all standing there weeping and hopeless and downcast. But then they all start getting together and they say, "Hey, we're feeling pretty good. How you feeling?" "I'm feeling great." "How you feeling, Mose?" "Well, here's how it goes. Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God." And then one begins to sing, "He is Lord. He is Lord." Sing it with me. "He is risen from the dead, and He is Lord. Every knee shall bow, every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord." I want to encourage you this morning that all of us, in one capacity or another, we are shepherds. We are shepherds of our families. As spiritual, saved, redeemed souls, we are shepherds at our workplaces. And we are shepherds in our community to look out and see sheep wandering all over the hills of Knox County. And it is our job and our mandate and our calling to bring them into the body of Christ, that they can meet together to worship at the manger, worship together at Mount Calvary, and meet together and worship at the monument. It's not a morgue. It's a monument of conquest, that Jesus Christ is Lord. And so for the rest of this service, Lord willing, we're just going to take time to worship the King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Brethren, we have met to worship and adore the Lord our God. So will you pray with all your power while we try to preach the word, 'cause all is vain unless the Spirit. power all up, all around.
Kind of wonder what to sing, and I know you guys are used to my face turning multicolored and doing all that. Here, I'll hand you this. This one's probably not going to do that, but this is one of my favorite Christmas songs, and it's a little medley. It's called The Beautiful Medley, and I've kind of felt a worship spirit here this morning. And when Christmas time rolls around, And I think of how, I mean, Jesus knew exactly what was going on. He came as a babe in a manger. And there are times that I just want to worship in his presence. Just be, I don't necessarily have to sit there and praise him, and I could do that. I don't have to sit there and ask him for things, and I got tons of things I could ask for. But just to worship in his presence is some of the most beautiful times when I can just sit there and bask in his presence. And so I want to do this song for you. It's called The Beautiful Medley. You listen.
I see you're not sorry we went over a few minutes, so praise the Lord. Amen? Wow. Well, now that you sat down, I want you to stand back up. And let's sing in closing. We'll praise his name forever. We'll praise his name forever. We'll praise his name forever. Christ the Lord, and we'll be dismissed.
We'll praise his name
worthy, and I promise we'll be done, all right? You just sound so good.
For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy. For he alone is worthy. Christ
for the Barnetts and John White in the choir this morning. Thank you so much. We love you guys. You're dismissed. Please come back tonight at 6:30.